You're listening to the Gold Squadron Podcast, your home for X-Wing discussion, strategy, and entertainment.
This is episode 46 of the Gold Squadron Podcast. I am your host, Dio Morales, and I am joined by Spend the Target something, because it's cut off by the screen, Nate Moore.
Dice up for life, for life. Do you want me to do that again?
Nope, it's fine. The people are going to hear it now. And
we're live.
And Dengar for president.
For third term president.
Dengar's what? Running? Who would be his running mate? Boba Fett.
He's running for re-election for a third time. For a third term.
Oh, yeah. What is he going to do? What's his stance? Payback. Revenge and payback.
So our plan for today is we're going to be talking about the new FAQ released by FFG today. That's Monday, January 22nd, and how this might affect them.
What timing?
Yeah, great timing. And also how this might affect the meta and what this means for our regional and system open results so far.
Unlock the hologram.
All right, guys, before we jump into the new FAQ, I want to talk about the last premiere event that we did have. I was there streaming the event that was at PAX South in Mandalore Open San Antonio. And congratulations to the winner, Joel Killingsworth. He is part of the Birmingham Barons playgroup and podcast. And I want to just do a congratulations to him. Woo!
Woo! Woo! Congratulations. Golf claps.
Yeah, he won with a Palp Aces squad. He had Quick Draw, the Inquisitor, and you're with Palpatine on it.
Yeah, that's the sweep the leg list.
Correct, sweep the leg list.
And also, I saw the interview at the end with you guys. I think he called out the Cobra Kai master for, what was it, for Atlanta?
Yeah, he called him out. Regional? Yeah, he called him out a little bit. He also said that, hey, I flew the list first.
Why were they both flying the same thing? I didn't know.
Like, yeah, which, so Duncan is currently flying, or at least the last time he was playing an event was flying a Quick Draw Inquisitor, your list as well.
Nice.
Yep. And then I want to start a little bit of beef. Just a little. Uh-oh. Just a little.
Roll up your sleeves. Come on.
To our friends, the Minox, Ryan Farmer, my very good friend. We talk every day almost online. And for some reason, you got this wrong. Like on your last podcast, you said that the runner-up, AC Yeager, who played great, by the way, out of Mexico, was the winner. But it was Joel Killingsworth. You got to get your facts straight, my friend. You got to. So that's just my little bit of beef. I love you, man.
That's not beef.
Is that not? Am I
bad? No. Yeah, manipulating information. Yeah, manipulating facts. Collects your president.
Fake news.
Yeah. So I guess it's Ryan Farmer for president. No more Dengar.
All love there. So these the matches from the Mandalore Open San Antonio are all up on our YouTube page. They're all in the long form currently. My computer actually. My screen crapped out like right after San Antonio. I just got it back today. So it was like perfect timing to be able to record for the podcast. That's why I haven't posted the individual games yet and chopped up the footage that I have here on my computer. But I will be doing that here in the coming weeks. And this weekend coming up, I will be streaming live from Glendale, Arizona, bringing you that system open. And that should be fun and exciting, especially with this new FAQ that just dropped.
Yep, and I will be in Minneapolis with our honorary Gold Squadron member, William Hayworth. So we'll be representing Gold Squadron in Minnesota. So we'll be in multiple spots.
There you go. All over the country, baby.
Yep.
Gold Squadron's got you covered.
That's right. So let's get right into it, right? New FAQ, it dropped today, and I just want to go straight in for the big one, okay? So the big thing you've been seeing at multiple regional events, like I was going...
Is Lebo.
No. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Out of 12 regionals that have happened since ours, okay, since ours, they have been dominated, either winning or several in the cut, a Miranda NIM list, specifically NIM using Genius and Trajectory Simulator together. And in the FAQ, they have declared now that that combo does not work. It's read exactly like this. Trajectory Simulator can be used only when the ship would drop a bomb via the means printed on an equipped bomb upgrade card. It cannot be used while using Genius to drop a bomb after performing a maneuver or in conjunction with any other effects that override the manner in which the bomb is dropped, such as Crimson Specialists. So pretty much now the word drop specifically
is not synonymous.
Well, you're right. Well, the word drop now means only when it happens behind you is pretty much what they're saying now. I was curious to see how they were going to do this, whether they were going to do an FAQ entry or they were going to errata something like change card text. I think this is a fine way to go, though it does on the Genius errata text still use the word drop and you're dropping it after. So, I mean, there could be a little bit of confusion here, but at least in the highest competitive play, we all know now that that combo does not work.
But it's really funny to see like the people argue this like emphatically for like the last like 2 or 3 weeks, just like as an angry mob and everything. There are people that just got really, really heated about this. I don't know if it's because if it was just like the fact that this list was very powerful. And that's what I was kind of sad about with this meta, was like I really liked how like this meta was like so clean and pure. There's so many different like variations. It's so good. I mean, didn't Boba Fett just win a regional too? Or
he did. I think the issue,
and that's what's
go ahead.
Like, but like that's like the thing is like I like how like we're seeing so many new things and so many random combinations. That's great, and I don't want to see like one overpowered list rise to the surface, and that's what this Nimorana was. It rose to the surface, became ridiculous when there was like 7 out of 8 people in the top 8 running the same list. And so anytime any list wins anything, everyone jumps on that one to try to see, oh, this might be the one list that basically overpowers everything else, and I want to play the best list. And so I just didn't want that to happen in this meta.
Yeah.
I was really hoping it wouldn't, and it did.
Yeah, it happened, but this is an interesting thing. This list, compared to other metas, right? It rose to the top very quickly. And I find it interesting that we got an FAQ so soon. Now, I'm happy for it. Let me say that. But I find it interesting that we did get it quickly compared to when we have had other issues in the past.
I think part of it is that they may have been working on it ahead of time, and they may have seen it ahead of time. So even though it just the big all of the loud complaining that Nate's talking about has happened recently, they probably came up during play testing, or they knew something about it ahead of time, or they basically saw some of the early, very early results that people were even using it in this combination, and they're like, no, that's not what we meant. So they may have been started even from the time before the ship actually launched, the ship actually was released. They may have already been working on it.
Here's my kind of stance on it. So we did have regionals on both sides of this coin. We had before this official FAQ came out, some said we're not going to allow the interaction because of X and Y and Z. The specific thing that came out was, so let's start with us. So in Chicago, we were the first ones to quote unquote ban it. But the reason I want people to understand something here, the reason we banned it had nothing to do with we feel that it was too strong. Because if you look at the dates and how it corresponds to all the other tournament results, we were the first, and it was honestly because when Ron, we didn't make that call, let me be clear. When Ron was looking at the cards, in his mind, he said, well, launch does not equal drop, so this doesn't work. Like, and that is basically what the FAQ says. there. So what happened was that Ron got it right.
Yeah. Off the beginning. Also just to... Yep. Ron did not make this decision in a bubble either. He reached out to other TOs that he knows and respects, and they talked about it. They have a group that I'm not part of, but Ron talks about it, and he got their opinion as well. So a lot of thought went into it, and that was the decision that was made. And turns out it was the decision that's in line with FFG's interpretation.
Right. And but then at the same time, there are also other judge groups that were on the other side. They said, well, rules is written, it works. So mind you, it doesn't matter right now. I just want to clarify that story because some people have bits and pieces. And I know that other podcasts have mentioned us, and I want them to understand that it had nothing to do with like, oh, it's OP, ban it. It was just when Ron was going through making our FAQ for things that we didn't have an official FAQ yet. That's what was decided. But anyway. You know, the dominance of that that archetype, the Miranda Nim, it's now illegal. So one thing I'm curious to see is, oh wait, I'm jumping ahead here. The FFG announcement is a thing that sparked the major fire. FFG announced on their regional post that this combo didn't work for. They did some like a shortened abbreviation of the reasoning in the FAQ. And then so now some people were on several different sides of the story, and I'm not going to hatch it out totally because there was a couple other podcasts who talked about it already. But basically people were either saying, hey, look, FFG Center is doing this. Frank, Alex, and Max, all the developers, literally work right there. I'm pretty sure they would get this right. So let's just follow suit. And then the other people were like, well, it's not in the FAQ, so we have no idea, and we don't know how we're going to do it. So there was people were butting heads on that, and there was a really strong public reaction to it. But now we have an FAQ, so we can stop arguing, and that makes me happy.
Yeah, I saw a lot of people like trying to discredit like the people at the center and be like, oh, he's not really this. He's just a guy that runs a store. Like a lot of their like analogies and trying to defend it were just so like, it got really weird and really just kind of petty. Yeah. And so,
well, I mean, like if I understand both sides of the argument, and I did make a post on our podcast page. I said, like, I understand if you're on both sides of the argument. And what it comes down to is the person who's right is a TO. End of story. And I'll play at any regional depending on like you follow the fact first. And if there's nothing that's fact, it's whatever the TO says. So because that's in the tournament rules anyway. Mm-hmm. Let's move on. Trajectory Simulator plus Genius doesn't work anymore. We're saved. We'll talk more about that later. let's continue down the list. The Harpooned condition. Harpooned! Marcel, what did they change there?
Nothing. They clarified. I think that we in Chicago, we were ruling it this way anyway as well. Basically that a crit result through any means, as long as it's not avoided through dice and tokens, if it goes through regardless of what happens afterwards, it still triggers the harpoon condition. So that's whether you use an accuracy corrector to actually that wouldn't count because that doesn't go through, whether you're using the ion torpedoes or tractor beam or anything else that cancels and deals damage, that it still goes through. I don't know if it was clarified as well, but draw their fire would also trigger that as well. I don't know if it was specifically called out, but an effect like draw their fire still goes through the shield before the damage is absorbed somewhere else, so that would still trigger the condition.
Right, it goes through the defense dice.
Exactly,
yeah. The harpoon condition. So mm-hmm. The big question was against TLTs. So basically what happens is that last line in TLT where it says, and then cancel all dice results, that is the very last thing to happen. Everything happens before that. So it's like cancel all dice results and then you deal damage. This harpoon condition happens before you deal the damage. And that's when it checks for the crit.
Mm-hmm. I disagree with this decision. I just felt like that's not really the point of like these attacks. I felt like these were like the point of these attacks were to like put the you know, TLTs is to like pick at you. Ion, you want the effect. You know, tractor, you want the effect. It's not about the crit and everything. That's just me disagreeing, though. I mean, obviously, other people like it this way, so, and that's fine. I just didn't think that was like the best choice.
Yeah, well, I mean, these are the rules. Now we know how we're playing. So that's just kind of the way I look at it now. Like, I think one thing it does do, though, like, I know that some people were doing it the initiative-based, depending on who had initiative, triggers X and Y and Z. I think this simplifies it, which I'm okay with. Like, was there a crit? Yeah. Was there a crit in the roll? Yeah. Okay. It triggers harpooned. I think condition cards already have a level of complication to them because they're just an extra step, something else you have to read. And just being able to resolve that in a simple manner of looking at the dice, is it there? Yes. Then it's fine. So that's the kind of way I look at it. But that's fine. Nate, what did they clarify with Sabine?
Sabine, they said that, what was it? Sabine's ability is actually optional and does not to be used on the first friendly bomb to detonate each round. I remember like doing this at regionals at Gen Con at our system open, and I forget the dev's name and everything. He came over and was actually able to kind of clarify this for us as well during that, because we said, hey, there are these two bombs going off. Which order would we need to do this? And he's like, well, it actually just, she gets to choose when, like, you know, you pop a bomb, you can decide whether or not to use Sabine, or is it when all of them come off? I forget.
Well, I mean, so the reason why this super matters is people were arguing before on the Sabine text, it doesn't say may. So the question here was, if you're going, let's say you have three cluster mines, okay, in a row, and you have just drilled through all three of them. So you hit the first one first. So that one goes off first. If there is a ship that's range one from the third cluster mine, but not the first cluster mine, do you have to, quote unquote, Sabine on the first one?
I see.
So that was the question. There's also situations where somebody might choose not to want to Sabine. Like, let's say you have a quick draw next to it and it's has its arc pointing at you, has target lock focus, and it says, please take a shield off me. Do it so I can punch you in the face with my ability. Some people might want to have the ability to be like, I'm not going to trigger Sabine. It's clarified now. Her ability is, in fact, the may. You don't got to do it.
Yep, and that's the one that I didn't like, just because I think Sabine's powerful enough as it is, and this would give it at least a little bit of a potential negative impact. If you blow up a bomb on yourself and it's not a may, you would have to Sabine yourself if there's nobody else around to Sabine. So that's from this FAQ. I wish they wouldn't make Sabine even better by giving it more flexibility than it already has.
Well, I think, like, my opinion is that every effect in the game, I think, should be a may, because if you miss it, it makes it easier to just move on with the game. It's like, oh, you missed it happened.
Like, a Rebel Captive is not a may. Oh, you have to take it.
Yeah, so that's a perfect example.
Yeah, like, I've gone, like, three rounds in, then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I was supposed to stress you that round. It's like, well, you didn't. Well, it's not a may, you must, and everything. I'm like, but it's been three rounds. What do you expect me to do about it now?
Yeah, that's a rabbit hole. We don't have to go down that one. All right, so the next one here, Zuckuss. So they said, if Zuckuss is used to reroll one or more of the defender's dice, effects that allow the defender to reroll all of their dice, such as the First Order Vanguard title for the TIE Silencer, can still be resolved for as many dice as possible. So in this case, those that were not already rerolled. So a little bit simplification. You and me were playing. Nate, you have a ship with Zuckuss, and I have Blackout with the Vanguard title.
Yep.
You make me Zuckuss a dice to a blank, and let's say I had two other blanks on there, I can still spend the title.
Re-roll. Yeah, to reroll the other two.
The argument there before that was on the Vanguard title, it says all dice, and people were trying to say, well, by Zuckussing you, I've locked out your ability to even spend that title because you can't do the major.
You can't do the die that's already been rolled.
Right, exactly.
So this just allows you, you can only reroll the dice that have not been rerolled already. Thus, again, confirming you're only allowed to reroll a dice or die one time. But it gives you exclusion that you can reroll the other two.
Mm-hmm. So basically, now we need to understand that in the game, the word all actually means as many as possible.
Mm-hmm.
That's what all actually means. I know that it sounds the same, but it's not the same.
This is like what I teach in like my math classes, things like this.
Yep. All right, Marcel, tell me about Libo. Marcel disappeared.
He's dead. You want me to do it?
Go for it.
All right, here's for all the Libo fanboys. If Libo is dealt a face-up damage card by the I'll Show You the Dark Side condition, Libo may still use his ability to draw an additional damage card. I think that's fun.
Yeah, well, so this was an argument we saw in the European meta. A lot of Libo pop up in the store championship season and right before really? Regionals start jumping up. Yeah.
People play Libo?
Yeah, people were playing Libo. So what happened was we can hear you now. Something broke. Anyway, so here, you know what? We're going to do a sync test real quick. Okay, we'll just split this into two. Hold on. Don't do anything. Yeah, so we saw it pop up a lot in the European late start championships and early regional prep. And the biggest reason people started doing it was because of the Kylo Ren crew card. I'll show you the dark side. So Libo is effectively not a hard counter to Kylo Ren crew, but it gives you an option. Like, all right, you dealt me a blinded pilot. I'm just going to just grab the next crit card in the deck and choose, which hopefully it's not a blinded pilot, which, you know, your chances of it being another blinded pilot other than anything else is much higher.
I've always flown Libo with determination, though, hoping to find that pilot crit so I can just discard it.
Yeah.
Right. But people were flying it at like basically replacing it with dash,
mm-hmm.
like building an exact. Like dash, but making it Libo for the Kylo counter as well as
combos,
as well as making it cheaper so that you can get more stuff on it.
I don't know.
Yeah, like, Libo's gonna win me a beer in 2 weeks. Tyler Tippett said I can't beat him with a Libo list, so so we bet a beer. So Libo and Chewbacca are gonna beat whatever his rack low is.
It's rack with Vader and a cruise missile.
I got him covered.
All right, Marcel, tell me about Torani Kulda.
If a ship affected by Torani Kulda's ability has zero focus and or evade tokens, it can still choose to remove all of its focus and evade tokens. Zero in this case to avoid suffering damage. This is a rule that I don't like because the ship needs the help anyway because it's not. It's not a very powerful ship to begin with. However, I kind of get why they did it because it goes in line with all the other rulings they're doing. They talk about when there is zero of something, it's still the occurrence still happens.
Yeah, zero is still a number. It still works out.
Yeah, it's still a number. So I get why they did it. Don't like it, but I get it.
Well, I will tell you this. Like, I've played against a couple of Torani Kuldas on Vassal, and if you are depending on those tokens and they take that guy up to VI, you are super careful about that bullseye fire arc, and it matters a lot. Now, if you're flying things that don't care about tokens, then it doesn't matter as much in that mm-hmm. case, because I think in those cases, it just becomes overpowered. You're just like, all right, I'm going to strip your tokens. And auto damage. It just becomes like an infinite bomb, which
it's very unfair abused. At that point.
It's a cheap hotshot co-pilot. It's a limited hotshot co-pilot.
Yeah. And I feel like at that point, it's kind of fair because, I mean, it's a built-in hotshot co-pilot in your ship and everything if you line it up well. But it's unfair for like these other ships and everything that might not just have everything. So you could line up three ships in a row, or is it like when you fire at them?
When you fire at anyone.
Yeah, it just
his ability happens at the start of combat.
I feel like the whole point of that ship is to kind of be like Omega Leader and kind of lock down your mods.
At the start of combat,
it's
not when you shoot someone. It's just at the start of combat, remove.
No, so you're confusing the bullseye firing arc by itself says no matter what ship it is that you cannot spend focus or evade tokens when defending against a Kimogila that has you in the bullseye firing arc. And Tirani Kulda, you're right. Tirani Kulda is after you perform an attack, an enemy ship inside your bullseye firing arc at range 1-3 must choose to suffer 1 damage or remove all of its focus and evade tokens. So you're right. Sorry, it is after attacking. My bad.
Okay. It's the lower pilot skill guy that starts at the end. That's at the start of combat, which is the one that gives you the target lock.
So for someone who hates Sabine so much because of it's that automatic damage, and you don't hate this. Because Sabine is that automatic damage and everything. So, if it was the reverse way and you actually took the damage, there would be so much automatic damage. You could, just be ridiculous with it. They would take auto damage all the time, just being in the arc.
Nate, there's no comparison. Don't even try.
No, we're comparing this right now.
All right. Dion, come on. Let's move it.
Okay, we'll move.
No comparison.
We're moving. Okay. So, Tweak. All right, so... The clarification here, I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's quite a few sentences. It says that with the mimicked condition, that's the one that copies pilot abilities, that you get the pilot's ability no matter what happens to the pilot. So if it loses its pilot ability for whatever reason, or the ship dies, you still, if you mimic Dengar, you get to be Dengar, but you get to his ability, no matter what happens to that Dengar in the course of the game. That's just clarification there.
Mm-hmm.
Lightning reflexes can be used during the maneuver from a slam action. If it's used then, however, the stress token is assigned before the ship can perform an action granted by advanced slam. So you can three forward slam, activate lightning reflexes, turn around 180 degrees. But then if you had advanced slam equipped on your gunboat, this is assuming that's what you're flying, you end up stressed and you couldn't do any actions with advanced slam because advanced slam requires you to not be stressed because they're action.
Mm-hmm. So I've always, and they specified specifically advanced slam here. But the way that it's been worded, I've always seen you move, you turn, you take your action, then you get the stress. If it's a regular green or white maneuver.
Right. But so the thing is,
advanced slam is the only exception.
Right. Exactly. Yes. If you just did if you just normal revealed your dial 3 forward, did lightning reflexes, you turn around. You're able to do an action and then get your stress.
Mm. Yeah, and in this case, you don't because you already did an action first to move.
Yeah.
So. Right. Well, that's not the that's not the reasoning, but yes, at the same time.
No. Yeah, the reasoning is the gunboat.
Right.
Yeah.
And then now we're not going through every single one of the FAQs. I'm just hitting on a lot of the big ones. There's a couple of the actual Q&A sections that I did want to cover here. So the next one here, what is that, Marcel? The first question there.
If you have a ship equipped with multiple bombs, can I drop a launch or otherwise place more than one bomb in the same round? No. So those are for the very few people who are arguing that you can drop and launch on the same turn because they're two different terms, two different words. So no, one bomb per turn per ship, period.
Yeah, I love that they built in just kind of covering their butt from the future. They're like, no matter what, I don't care what word we come up with in the future, one bomb a turn, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Until they make a ship that drops two bombs.
Possibly. I mean, if the ship specifically says you may drop two bombs during this, that would be like...
I'm not coming up with ideas about rotating bomb shields around ships. Oh, man. Just like in Mario Kart, rotating shields. All right.
All right, Crimson Specialist. So the next question there says, does launching a bomb or otherwise placing a bomb in the play area count as dropping a bomb? It says no. And wait, this one's stupid. We're not going to say this one. Edit this one out.
Well, that's basically just the one that, I mean, it's not completely stupid. It's just the one that says you basically, if you launch with Death Rain, you can't barrel roll after.
Right, yeah.
It's just so it affects him.
Different word than launch. Just because you launch something doesn't mean that you're dropping and you get all the same things that a drop would. So, like, you can't use, what was it, Bombardier, and instead of using a 5, use a 2 to launch forward or something ridiculous. That's not the same
thing. There you go. Hey, Nate, can a ship recover shields beyond its shield value?
Why, yes, it can, Dion.
No, it can't.
No, we don't. We all know it can't. None of these are ships have never been able to go beyond your shield value. Anyone who thinks they can, it's just no.
And one thing I did notice looking through the FAQ is they had that clarification underneath R2-D2 and Pulse Ray Shield in the previous one. They took it out and then just added this line in here. It's like, no, you can never have more shields.
It's such a basic question that's been around for 5 years now. I'm just surprised people keep on thinking that you can do something different with that. And
New people to the game.
Yeah. It happens. It's like, we can't take shield regen of that magnitude. There's too many shields.
Yep. What's the next question there, Nate?
During the combat phase, when does a ship become the active ship? Well, the process occurs in the following manner. The appropriate player nominates one of their eligible ships at the current initiative value. The ship then becomes the active ship and then may begin the process of performing an attack by measuring range to a valid target. And then we go through the whole timing chart idea. I mean, this is obvious. If you have you elect your ship, say, hey, I want to fire with that one. Is that the right one that's in the right order of the PS skill? Well, yes, it is. Go ahead. If you have two ships that are the same PS skill level, you have to choose one first before you start measuring. If you do that, like out of order, then if you start kind of measuring from one ship, then you are probably going to be forced to fire with that ship you started measuring from. You're not allowed to measure from both and then decide. You have to pick one, then measure. Am I right?
Go ahead, myself.
Yeah. This can be a little bit of the at premier events, the taking the ruling to the extreme, to the point where you've got two ships that are both in arc and it's pretty obvious, and you say, oh, I'm going to shoot with this. No, wait, I got Hotshot Copilot on this one, so I should probably shoot with this one first. Somebody who wants to take every advantage can go back and said, no, you declared it already. I'm going to shoot with this. The words came out of your mouth. You nominated it. So you have to shoot with that one first, even if you didn't measure or anything.
So regardless, you nominate one. Yeah.
Well, that's what it says. The player nominates the ship. So by saying I will shoot with this first, even if you didn't measure anything, that's the ship that's activating for combat.
I nominate Data and, for tribute.
And then if you, before you measure, say, well, no, actually, I want to shoot with this first. The other player can rightfully say, no, you have to shoot with
original
one.
That's words matter.
Yeah, words matter. Me and Marcel actually got in this conversation about this, about if you say, hey, I'm going to target lock something, but then you don't measure, are you forced to target lock?
Yeah, then we did get into this at a tournament where Nate said, okay, this ship will target lock this ship. And then before he measured, he's like, no, wait, never mind. I'll just put a focus. And I said, no, you already... No, actually, never mind. I'll just target lock the one next to it. And I was like, well, no, you already said you target lock this one, so you got to target lock it. And he said, well, I never measured it. So we did get into this.
Yeah, we didn't know before. What was the actual rhetoric of it. So we didn't know.
Yeah, like if you said, okay, I target lock that ship, I said that's a declaration of who you're target locking.
Yeah.
So it happens. It happens.
So yeah, right, we just didn't know. I mean, this is something you can definitely be kind of, you know, like the grammar Nazi on and call people on this and everything. And if you did that, you know, you'd be within the right. But at the same time, I feel like people, if it's still in the same game state, I feel like you're allowed to kind of change your mind and be like, I'm going to focus. Wait, no, I'm going to invade. No, I'm going to focus. And it's like, if it happens within like the 5 seconds of each other, I don't feel like that changes anything.
I would say ask your TO. That is a it's not clear. I would agree that it hasn't been clarified. I know some people play it different ways. Like, all right, it only counts once you put in the token.
That's usually how I am about it. Once it hits the
table. So if you're concerned about it, I would say ask your opponent before a game or ask the TO before the thing. And in general, I think like asking beforehand is probably the safest thing, especially if you plan on calling people on it.
Just remember they like, can I know, call like, on when, you.
When we practice together as Gold Squadron, we hold each other to like the highest standard.
Oh God!
Because when we don't want to expect other people to give us breaks, even if we give them breaks, but when we practice together, we don't give each other breaks because we don't want to expect that from anybody else. If that makes any sense whatsoever.
No, like if Dion holds me to the standard all the time and I hate him for it, but I love him for it because I'm like, oh, I'm going to do this. Nope, you already did this. You missed your trigger. Damn it. And that happens all the time. And so it just helps me kind of stay on my mark all the time. But yeah, it's like learning through failure and mistakes and pain. But yeah.
Lots of pain.
But I mean,
lots of pain.
I don't know. Just this reminds me of like the old world when you were kids, like when you played checkers or chess. And it's like, oh, I'm going to move this. And then you're like, oh, wait, I want to take that move back. It's like, nope, you took your hand off of it. I feel like it's generally, I don't know. That's the way I think about it. Did you put the token on the table? Did you take your hand off of it? Too late kind of thing. I don't know.
Ask before you play if you're concerned about it.
Depends on the person. They're cool. They'll be like, if they want to be a role monger, then yeah, they're in the right to call you on it.
But they're within their rights. You can't give them a negative connotation word if they're within their rights.
Role monger is a negative connotation. Okay, thank you for like all the do we need to make like a social justice group just for role mongers? Oh wait, no, that's. I feel like we're getting into some weird thing here.
Let's move on. So, the next thing, next question was, when does an effect that triggers after attack resolves occur? It occurs after step 10 on the timing chart. It's pretty simple. So basically, it's step 11. It's not, there is no 11, but it is 11. So when you have anything that's after attacking, such as Darth Vader crew, it's step 11. It's the last thing to happen.
Looks like our dials go to 11.
Yep. I was going to make that joke and you stole it from me.
Yes!
Thanks a lot.
Yes! I win the game. I win.
You win.
Do we have like victory music you could play over this right now? Because that'd be amazing. Here, I'm gonna.
Nope. I could just cut you out.
Oh,
doing it right now. Nate's talking, and you will never know what he's saying, audience, because I just edited it out.
Oh,
you see, because I'm the captain. All right, let's. Maybe we'll see if I feel like it. So, what's the last question and answer there, Marcel?
What is the speed of the maneuver ship perform this round if it performed multiple maneuvers, such as by using slam or daredevil or etc.? And a lot of words, answer is the original move is the speed of the maneuver. So if now it doesn't apply, but if there was a possible way of putting adaptive ailerons and a slam in some way, would that initial boost obviously make that a one and then go? Or is it just whatever was revealed on the dial?
Whatever was revealed on the dial. So for instance, what they're saying is
when there is no dial, like when you're ionized, it's just a one.
Right, just a one. So for instance, you could not do a two forward with your gunboat, slam for a two, and if you have that missile title that says if you have somebody target lock, you can shoot your missiles anyway. You couldn't shoot them with a cruise missile for four dice because 2 + 2 = 4. That's not how that works. It's whatever the original maneuver would be, which would mean that you, You just
you'd have a three dice cruise missile instead of a five dice there or whatever. Yeah, just because you did of two, like three and three or two and two, doesn't mean you get to double up. What was the speed of the maneuver?
Okay,
right. So, you know, we went through all those. I know some people have probably read them already, and we just reread them to you. Other people maybe hadn't even got to it yet and heard it for the first time. What I want to parse now, and we don't have any notes on this. We're just gonna kind of, this is all just brain space because this is really fresh. What do we think this does to the meta? And I'll start because I'm going to take the most obvious one. So I'll give you guys some time to think. The most obvious thing is we're going to see a decline in Nim Miranda. But here is the truth. Nim and Miranda are still a good combination. But what is taken away now is they can, like, what you'll see, what you did see a lot of Nim Miranda players do, which is you actually see it on our stream from San Antonio. They line up to joust, and before they were able to throw a bomb at you and two cruise missiles on the same turn. Not two cruise missiles, two harpoon missiles. And it was just a ridiculous amount of damage. You just wipe a ship from the table and then say, let's play the game. It was extremely obtrusive and mean because you were able to do it with Genius, just send that super far. I mean, the range was ridiculous.
And it would also make it impossible, or not impossible, very difficult for pilot skill 9 and below aces to approach Nim from any angle, because at that point, even if you approach from the side, you would just have to hope that Nim doesn't do a hard 2 and spit it out that way anyway. So it just made it difficult for any pilot skill 9 or below ace to make a safe approach on Nim.
Yep. I mean, not even just ace, just any ship.
There were some like ridiculous amount of places that Nim could throw a bomb. Like half the freaking map could be thrown to the bomb to. It was really ridiculous. So,
well, we're saved. Mm-hmm. That can happen. Now, Nim can still take Trajectory Simulator, so don't just plop yourself in front of Nim. It just can't go like Nim goes 4 forward and then launches a bomb after that. So you have more space that you can be in now, because they can't do it after the maneuver. You see where they are, and you know that the limits of that that bomb toss is just straight in front of them or the one behind them. So now you have some ability to get in on the sides at the 45 degree angles and their immediate sides.
So now the question here is, does Genius is still super powerful on the scum then, because you avoid damage on yourself. Mm-hmm. So you don't care to move forward and then drop it after. But does it mean you probably go to something other than Genius on the Rebel version?
No, I think you'd still keep him. I think like he still like the fact that you can drop a bomb in two different spots, hold the bomb there just as like a kind of nice deterrent, that people would still pick Genius. I don't see any better robot for him at present.
Yep, I totally agree with Nate. I mean, there's no reason not to put it out there.
You
know, so
it's just like in the movie and everything, you hold the thermal detonator in your hand to basically get what you want. You hold a bomb on the table to get what you want.
Yeah, I get it. But I mean, there's other droids like the Pain Bot, for example, that can be a deterrent to get shot at.
Sure. But I mean, you're comparing apples to oranges right now. Mm-hmm. If we're talking about just 0 points, why not take Genius? If we start talking about like just in general, then yeah, sure. Of course, you can put other droids on there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't make it. He can salvage, right? Can he do a green talon roll with the salvage one?
No, because it has to be a unique.
It has to be unique. That's right.
Yeah, and I'll just say I'm actually sad that this dropped this week instead of next week. Well, actually, it's not going to matter because Minnesota had already declared it not valid. But no,
Marcel had the
list that I'm flying over there would just eat Nim Miranda apart. So too bad, so sad. I'm not going to see that many over there.
Wah, wah.
All righty. So let's talk about some more stuff. So with the decline of Nim Miranda, because I think the people who will stop playing Nim Miranda are those who relied heavily on that strategy. I think there was plenty of people who were playing Nim Miranda in combination before Trajectory Simulator came out. Those people will probably still play it. But we're going to see a decline in the density of people using it. So I think a couple of things become more viable, right? Automatically, just like aces in general, where I think we can see some more ace play. On the San Antonio stream, you do see Joe Killingsworth just pick apart this Nim Miranda build, but I will tell you that that is not how that's supposed to go.
It's not how it's supposed to go, and the only reason that happened is because Jaeger took the exact same opening that he took against the same list that somebody else flew the day before.
And they were friends.
And they were friends. He's like, this is exactly what he's going to do. And no doubt that is exactly what he did. So Joe knew exactly how to approach it because AC did not change his strategy one fraction.
Right. So Joel made him pay for it. So, but it's, we're going to see, I think, a rise in aces because now you're okay with having lower hit points because bombs are less of a threat. You still got to worry about it.
Yeah, but not from every angle and every correct concoction.
Right, exactly. I mean, from a much limited, much more limited spots. I think, Nate, I'm curious to see. I know you were talking about earlier, like you really like metas where this nothing really rises to the top. It's just really an open field, and we'll see just kind of who is the best rather than what is the best.
Yeah, and that I like that way better because it's way more interesting when it's like, oh my god, what was this combo? It's like, oh, that works. They won with that. It's like, yeah, Boba Fett and Asajj, I guess, really messes people up if you like play it well. Cool. Like, yo, just some other crazy stuff. Like, my buddy Andrew Vergani, who was playing PS11s, you know, what was it, Wedge, Poe, and Fen Rao. And I was like, holy crap, they're all 11s. They're doing a really good job, and they're very threatening. It's so interesting to see all the little different nuances now. And it's really just, I haven't felt like the meta was this cool since before Decimators and Outriders came out. I felt right before then the meta was just so interesting and so cool. And now they finally got back to that by getting rid of all the like the hardcore staples. I mean, we're seeing X-Wings being played again. Holy crap. Who's seen an X-Wing other than Biggs in like years? So other than like Zach Matthews and Wedge, you know? But yeah, it's just so nice. It's so refreshing. A lot of these other things that we're looking at, like these other nerfs, like other than trajectory, like harpooned, I don't know. That one, like, I think it just...
Well, it's not a harpoon nerf. Well, it's just a harpooned clarification.
It's a harpoon clarification. Like,
I would actually call it a harpoon buff.
Yeah, it is a buff.
It's more of a buff.
And I don't think harpoon needs a buff. Like, I've kind of gone ahead and said a lot, like, I think you should have to spend the target lock for harpooned because otherwise you're getting a four dice attack every round. It's just because when you roll four dice... Two of them usually are crits, or sorry, not crits. Two of them usually hits. You have two left over. You roll one or something. You'll probably get one more hit. Guidance chip or focus. You typically always have four damage going out. I feel like that's a little.
Nate, I am going to make you eat crow right now.
Why?
Are you ready? Okay,
go for it.
Please tell me the squad that you used at Gen Con, not the Miranda. Please read for me the other ship.
The Ray.
Right?
Yes.
I cannot tell you how many times
I've blanked out on that, like in the last tournaments.
Sure. But you consistently get 4 to 5 hit attacks without having to spend anything.
Right.
And you're a turret. It's a turret.
It's unbeatable. Wink, wink.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
It's not unbeatable, which just puts me to the point of like, if you don't want to get shot by harpoons, don't be in the harpoon arc. Just don't be there. Like, you have the choices to be there.
Yeah, right? there's plenty of tech out there now. I do think that the reason I don't like harpoons is not because they deal out consistent damage. The reason I don't like harpoon is because there is a clear... it's kind of like the TLT. There is a clear difference between the effectiveness of a harpoon to the point cost to all the other missiles, and it makes all the other missiles kind of
worthless.
useless. Yeah, like why would you take a salt missile? You don't need to take a salt missile. You're always going to take your harpoon. Cruise might be the only exception, and cruise is a little bit more situational, and mostly if you're that just trying
some
to save
setup and some points. Finesse though too. Versus,
yeah, so
and that's why I felt about was it advanced homing or homing missiles where it was like you didn't have to spend the target lock for that missile either. But I felt like hey, if you're putting 5 points into this missile and it does this thing, that's okay. But a harpoon, you're spending less points, and you're getting not only that, but you're getting this huge condition and all this other stuff and this and that. I felt like it was too much all on one card, you know.
I will respectfully disagree.
Of course, because you love them. They're your third and fourth child.
Well, okay, so I use harpoon missiles to make sure my arc ships matter that are generics, right? How like
harpoons
what
doesn't make them without, matter? You make
without,
them matter
with our harpoon. Without harpoon missiles,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you're not like a Kirax fighter right now. In the metal that we're in order to make it competitive, you put a harpoon missile, it's automatically competitive. Without it, most likely not. Like I feel that it allows ships that have a missile slot to rise up. And have a chance in the high
again,
damage output.
I don't mind the harpoon missile by itself. What I don't like is the amount of difference between harpoon and its counterparts. And more than anything, the amount of difference between harpoons and what's available for torpedoes. And that makes ships like the X-Wing, who has a torpedo, not a missile, lag a little bit in that if the harpoon was accessible, if X-Wings could carry harpoons, then you have a 21 point X-Wing with a harpoon type missile, and you know that's a 25 point, well, 26 with an astromech. You know, now you're probably looking at different things for that X-Wing, but it's just again, it's just a bit of a disparity. It's my only concern with it. But I agree that the harpoon missile is not overpowered as compared to everything else that's available right now, because there's plenty of tech with Fen, with a lot more people are using Hotshot, including myself, Arc Dodgers and Palpatine, and countermeasures on almost every large base ship. So there's plenty of tech to counter harpoon lists. I just don't like that it's the choices are limited to the amount of missiles and torpedoes that you want to take.
I get it. So we'll move on. And I will say this: I could understand, especially for newer players or maybe an isolated group of players, where you got that one friend who like doesn't have many things, and he brings his like, look, I have a B wing, an A wing, and an X wing. Here's my list, and then you play harpoon missiles against it. They're playing with like old style arcs and you're playing with new style arcs. The old style arcs are going to feel bad.
Yeah, for real.
They're going to feel bad. So I get that disparity, but I think at the most competitive level, harpoons are fine. In the casual scene, I could see maybe where they have some negative effects. But I mean, wait, it happens. And hey, as for your torpedoes, who knows? Well, I'm sure the next beautiful torpedo is around the corner. It's coming. Don't worry. It's coming. It has to be, right? Probably, maybe. I don't know. So let's go faction by faction here and just try to get through this in a timely manner. Mm-hmm. Give me, Nate, in Rebels, what is something that you think with Nim Miranda being subsided? What is maybe a Rebel archetype that's going to have a little bit more space to live
in the map? I think just in general, everything has a little bit more space to live. And specifically with Rebels, I mean, just any of these builds where they are trying to do something a little bit different, like any X-Wing builds or a regen build can work a little bit better. Not that they couldn't before, but just gives them a little bit more space. I'm just trying to think of other things that people are doing right now. I mean, I don't think like everything was so incredibly bogged down. I mean, just cross border, everything was bogged down. So it's just kind of like everything. I don't know. I'm mumbling now. So
yeah, I think for the on the rebel side, Nim Miranda really wasn't pushing anything out as much as it was pushing things out for Imperials and Scum. But what it was doing, it was taking people that were probably going to fly something different on the rebel side and switch to Nim and Miranda. So more than pushing anything out specifically, I think it was taking rebel players that just saw that as like, well, it's hands down the most powerful list, so it makes sense.
The best rebel list, why not fly the best rebel list if I'm already a rebel player, right?
All right, so Marcel, I'll flip it now to Scum for you.
Mm-hmm. What makes, I think mostly Fen Rao. That's one ship that is Fen Rao, the pilot skill 9 and below K-Fighter, so basically
Protector.
Protectorates, yeah.
Yeah, Scum
Fen Rao. Well, I'm talking about like Fen Rao Protectorate, and then I said also the Kurax fighters. It makes them a little bit better because now they can approach from an angle a little bit safer. And I think the other lists really weren't suffering from it. Asajj was always good against that particular list. I think Fen Rao is probably the biggest winner here.
Yeah, because I've been seeing a lot lately at all.
Yep, I mean bombs are bad when you have only 4 health and no shields. So for the Imperials, you know, the gunboats have been around. They've been a source of comfort for Imperial players because they do have 7 health. But when you had a lot of less experienced gunboat players keeping their 3 gunboats together and allowing a Nim to throw a bomb in the middle of your 3 new squadron pilots, that's when people were suffering right there. That's partially a player issue. You let them do that, but that's less likely to happen now in general. The Imperials generally have available more low hit point ships that are AC. You know, a lot of people use the word ace to talk about ships that have the ability to boost and barrel roll. But in general, I think we might see a resurgence of some Arc Dodgers now that the ability to be in there is a safe place now on the board where Nim can't get you. I think it's just it gives you some counterplay against a Nim player who's trying to have that angle on you to get you an arc and try to trajectory simulator you before and maybe try to shoot the bomb where you're going to be. You know, it just the biggest thing that I like seeing in the game is having counterplays. When you see a list across from you, you should never be like, well, this is impossible. Like the fact that you can have a win condition throughout the game is good for the game. And I think that is the direction with this small change. It helps us move in that direction. Any other thoughts, gentlemen?
What are you flying now that does this change what you're flying?
Oh man, like I don't even know. Like I have been flying, and it's recorded in places, so that no secrets here. I've been flying Kylo Ren and 2 gunboats with different build outs and just trying to find what feels good. Have a lot of games under my belt with it now. So I'm probably going to stick with that throughout regional season just because, like I said, I have a lot of reps with it. But I was nervous because I knew that this trajectory simulator thing was going to be a problem. So I kind of felt like I didn't have as strong of a chance to be successful. But now knowing that I have some choices, I have some counterplay against a Nim Miranda. I'm looking forward to playing some of these games against a Nim Miranda. Like I'm going to see a Nim Miranda across the table, I'm sure at some point, and feel okay with it. Like, hey, I have a chance. I can win this game still.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like it's all like, yo, heavy handed anymore.
Right. What about you, Marcel? You don't have to give it away if you don't want to.
No, I don't mind. I mean, the things that I'm flying are probably not heavy meta. So this next coming week, I bounced around through different ones. I'm just gonna stick with Dengar and Thweak. And I've play tested it enough. Nathan Idy beat me a couple times with it, and I was like, maybe it's not so good. But then I retooled it with different combinations and basically covered up the weaknesses that ID found in it. So I feel pretty comfortable with that one for Minnesota.
You don't have a damage output problem with that list?
I actually don't. Ask Nathan. I flew against his Gen Con list. Miranda. What is the other one? And Ray. And I took Miranda out in about two rounds of fire, and I had Ray down to below than half, and just he was getting a lot of evades, or else I probably would have taken Ray out as well. Surprisingly, it actually, the way I have it loaded out, the way I have it built, both of them are dishing out a fair amount of damage.
Mm-hmm.
And then also just I just bought a second Shadowcaster, so I'm probably going to do that one the week after at Indianapolis with Asaj and Ketsu. I liked it. I had fun when I played it at that one store championship. Even though somebody else built it for me, it was
Bruno.
Yeah, was it Bruno? Yeah, so it was a recommended list. So I'm building it out to more of my taste, and I'm gonna have my own little spin on it. It's definitely a Ketsu Asaj list that nobody else has put together in this particular way. But I'm gonna have my own little spin on it for Indiana. Sticking with scum.
You're such a pretty snowflake. All right, well, gentlemen, I'm looking forward to the upcoming.
Wow.
Oh, sorry.
Bogus. I see how it is.
What are you planning on playing, Nate?
I'd really like to try that ghost like Fenrau list right now, but I'm not very good at flying ghosts and keeping things together for that very well. Other things, I have the fun list that I like to play with it, which is Miranda, Crimson Specialist, and an Ezra Stress Bot, and I have a lot of fun flying it. I mean,
as soon as you say fun squad and then you say Miranda, yeah. I don't believe
you.
It's like I have a fun Miranda list. Like, well, it might be a fun Miranda list if you've got like a no turret on her. You know, you've got maybe
no turret.
Yeah,
no turret, no bombs.
No turret, no bombs. Then it's fun.
Never use your regen. Then tell me it's a fun squad. So I want you to fly Isigi to Ketu instead. Without any upgrades, and then
I don't even know what he does. Does he like pass off a focus or a target lock?
He shares his focus. He's like, "Hey, my focus is your focus."
Okay, so he's wannabe Garvent Race or whatever. That's right. But no, I thought that was a fun thing I wanted to like mess around with, and like, I don't know.
I mean, I think it's good. From I remember we played a couple games with it, and you're like, "All right, here's some stress. Here's some bombs, and once you're stressed enough, you can't get away from the bombs." Yeah. So
essentially, that's what it is. It's just like you're stress. Oh, by the way, and here's a bomb. Yeah. That's fun, but it shreds like MOV.
It's not fun. Oh my god, it's not fun
for me,
but it's good
because I lock it up. But it shreds MOV. I like bomb myself, and I'm just like,
yeah. Crimson Specialist, which, by the way, for our patrons, we actually made a Crimson Specialist alt art card. Yeah, and it's posted on our Patreon, so you can go take a look at that. Yeah, so, gentlemen, thank you for joining me today. It was a good discussion. I'm glad we got this FAQ. I think it's going to be good for the community. We can start doing some healing because people got heated. And I look forward to, like you said, Nate and Marcel will be in Minneapolis. You'll be able to get us some content there.
I'm going with William Hayward.
Oh yeah, sorry, Hagwood.
A-I-G.
Yeah, he's gonna listen Hayward. To this and be mad at you now.
I know.
I'm sorry, you can't even say my name right. Whatever.
In simple text again.
It's okay. We're spooning in the same hotel, so I'll get him to forgive me.
There you go.
Whoa.
Let's move on. Because they're friends, guys. God, get your mind out of the gutter. Let's move on. I want to thank everybody for listening today. Like I said, this upcoming weekend, we are going to be streaming live from the Glendale System Open. Huge thank you to our patrons and Twitch Prime subscribers who make it possible. You guys are awesome. Thank you to our sponsors, which is something new that we're doing. That's a lot of fun. And I look forward to going to these X-Wing events for you guys and bringing you this content. Everything will be up on our YouTube page afterwards. But yeah, so you can watch live X-Wing events and content at twitch.tv/Gold Squadron Podcast. This includes upcoming regionals, which we're going to be streaming from Indiana in a couple weeks, also Wisconsin and Michigan, and some system opens. Next one's Glendale. After that is Portland, and after that is California. The California one's still a question mark, but we're going to try to make it happen for you guys. Watch our videos and replays of our streams on YouTube channel. Just search up Gold Squadron Podcast. And words are hard, guys. It is late. Lastly, if you enjoy the show and you want to help continue expanding your content while getting awesome swag, please go to patreon.com/goldsquadron or become a Twitch Prime subscriber. You can hit me up on Facebook for details for that, because if you have Amazon Prime, it costs you nothing, and it sends a couple bucks our way to support the stream. So for Marcel and Nate, my name is Dion Morales. Gold Squadron out.